Hello, Pedro Pearls listeners. It's Monday, March 25th, and that means it's time for another Monday re-release. For today's episode, we're going back to Season 3 of Getting to Know You with Dr. Irene Lara Corrales. Dr. Irene Lara Corrales was recently featured in Pedro's member spotlight in the latest edition of the Research Bullet eBlast. You'll also recognize her voice from the mini podcasts she's done for Pedro, with Unraveling HS being the most recent. Follow the links in the show notes for more information about Dr. Irene Lara Corrales. Welcome back to another episode of Pedro's Getting to Know You. I am your host, Jen Dawson, Pedro's Associate Director of Education. And joining me today is the lovely Dr. Irene Lara Corrales. She's an Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the University of Toronto. She's a pediatric dermatologist at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto, Canada. She has been serving on several PEDRA committees throughout the years, but is currently chairing PEDRA's Acne and HS Focus Study Group. You've heard her voice on two PEDRA podcasts, and you've seen her present webinars on our on-demand education program. She's given talks at PEDRA and several other meetings throughout her career. And she was somebody that I began working with early on when I started, when she was a member of the Communications Committee. So thank you so much for being here, Dr. Irene Lara Corrales. It's a delight to have you.
Hi, Jen. A pleasure being here.
So why don't we start everybody off with your origin story? How did you become a pediatric dermatologist and why?
Of course, like I am originally from Costa Rica. Costa Rica is a very small country, and the way that specialties, like residency programs, are offered each year is a little bit different. Like the needs of the country, like, determine what spots are going to be available each year. So they decide, like, oh, this year we don't need more gynecologists. Like, so there are no spots for gynecologists. So that is kind of the way that that was decided, at least when I was presenting my residency exams many years ago. And I always knew, I don't know specifically why, but I knew that I wanted to be a pediatric dermatologist. So I studied to present for the residency in dermatology. So I spent months studying for this exam. And when they posted the residency programs for that year, there were no spots that they were going to open for dermatology. Because I knew that I wanted to work with kids, then I had like 3 weeks to study and present myself for my pediatrics residency. And I had already gone through all the different tests and exams and everything to get there. So I decided, okay, so I'll do pediatrics first. And 3 weeks later, I did my exam and I was accepted into the pediatrics residency. So I ended up doing pediatrics first. One of the pediatric dermatologists that works here at SickKids went to lecture to my hospital while I was doing my pediatrics residency. There has always been a very close relationship between the Children's Hospital in Costa Rica and the Hospital for Sick Children here in Toronto. And many of my mentors actually came to do their fellowship programs here at SickKids. So they encouraged me to approach him and learn a little bit about what he was doing here and how pediatric dermatology worked at SickKids. And that's how I met the first pediatric dermatologist from Toronto in Costa Rica. He came to me and I ended up applying for a fellowship and was accepted here. And yeah, that was 18 years ago. I was here, it was a 2-year plan, and we were heading back to Costa Rica, and 2 years became three. I started a master's degree here at the University of Toronto. And then by the time that I was finishing my master, Elena approached me and put the idea, like, oh, have you ever thought about staying? And here I am.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What a lovely story. What a risk to, like, have this thing that you're already passionate about, that you know you want to do, and then not know if any spots are going to become available. That's got to be super stressful.
It was very stressful.
I can imagine. And, you know, believe it or not, you are one of the first people I've talked to who has said that she's always wanted to be a pediatric dermatologist from the beginning. That's rare. I've heard so many people say they've been inspired by a derm rotation or they sort of fell into it some way. But what was it about skin and pediatrics that really you were like, this is what I want to do?
That is a great question. I think that's probably like the patients that I was seeing, like I always wanted to work with kids. Like that was a given. Like I actually did not enjoy at all my internal medicine rotations and working with older adults. Like I knew that I wanted to work with kids. I like making kids laugh. I like making kids better. I like teasing kids to get a smile out of them. Mm-hmm. And I love babies. So I think like that part was very easy to decide. I don't know. I always liked dermatology. I my family doesn't have a strong medical background. My mom is a pharmacist, but I just have a great uncle that is a physician. Everybody else did not have a medical background. I don't know. There was something about dermatology and kids that always attracted me.
I think that's wonderful. So I want to shift gears a little bit and I want to talk about, you know, you're in Toronto, you've finished your education, you've been, you know, working with Dr. Pope. And how does the research get started for you? Like, where does research come in?
So research was something that was very new for me. Like, research in Costa Rica is not something that is, at least when I was training, it was not very well established. Like, we had to do a small chart review as a graduation project, but kind of more comprehensive research, like randomized controlled trials. There was probably only one of my mentors that did that in the infectious disease department in the Children's Hospital. And I always admire her quite a bit just because she was able to really get these studies going and was able to contribute to kind of the field. So I found that really great, like that she was doing this, but I never really thought that I would have an opportunity to do it the way that I'm doing it now. So when I came to Toronto, like if you're the way that the fellowship program, one of the expectations is that you have to complete a research project. So if you're here for 2 years, you actually get the kind of a larger prospective project. If you're here only for a year, you do something smaller, usually a retrospective study. So when I got here, and maybe this was an aha moment, because one of the conditions that I work with quite a lot right now, and I do have a story there that I'll share with you, is epidermolysis bullosa. So probably with EB, like my relationship has been quite long. I remember in my first year of pediatric residency, we had a baby born with EB. It was kind of very simple people that this baby was born into a family that had they were from a remote area, and they basically thought that this was something that the witch doctor from this village was able to solve. Mm-hmm. So with epidermolysis bullosa, that there is such a huge fragility of the skin, they took this baby for the doctor to rub all these herbs in the baby's skin. And basically, when this baby got to our institution, it was really shocking because there was not a lot of skin left. This was a baby that was very, very sick. And I was taking care of her in the ward. So I developed like a close relationship with the dermatologist that was working at our hospital. And with this baby, like we took care of her for months. Sadly, the family abandoned her at the hospital. So it was a very sad story, but one that impacted me. And definitely it was one of the things that I wanted to, that patient population I wanted to help. I started getting involved a little bit with Debra in Costa Rica, and patients that had epidermolysis bullosa, like it was always something that if I knew a patient was admitted, I would always go to those patients to try to help out. So when I got here, Elena had established an epidermolysis bullosa clinic a year or two before I came. And one of the research projects that we wanted to do was related to EB. So that was actually my master's thesis. So we did a prospective randomized controlled trial, like kind of what I had seen my mentor do in ID in Costa Rica, but now I was able to do it. And it was really interesting and rewarding to be able to, we were doing home visits, we were going to them to kind of make it easier instead of them coming to the hospital. That is always so hard for them. And I was able to complete this research study. And that was kind of a, I guess it was very rewarding to be able to start and finish that project, have a publication out of it. And apart from that project, like I think I was involved in some other smaller research projects that was very different from my training back in Costa Rica.
What a story. So you started that project, you saw it all the way through, you saw it to publication. What were some of the things you learned along the way that surprised you?
I think probably the most surprising thing was going to their homes, seeing how they had adapted things that we take for granted, like being able to open a door. They don't have the same function of the hand that we do, like especially when their fingers start contracting. So they had adapted their doors for cones that they would punch in and the door would open. Things like that, like they're seeing how they had adapted their bathrooms to have like one of these open tubs that they could walk in. So it was really impressive seeing how they really made all their surroundings. Like they had like little carts with their dressings, like special tables to do dressing changes. Like I think that was really interesting, that if I hadn't been doing this project and going to visit them at home, I wouldn't have been able to really imagine and see like the way that they live their everyday.
Yeah, you got that real world hands-on experience with them more than what you can get or glean in a clinic evaluation.
For sure.
Wow, that's incredible. So you have a very strong interest and are doing a lot of amazing work in EB, but another interest I know you have is HS. So let's talk about HS.
Actually, Pedra is responsible for that one.
Well, we'll take the credit, but I'm sure it wasn't solely us.
Well, I have to say, like, one of my good friends here in Toronto that also has a special interest in HS approached us, and I think it was in 2015, to do a review article for the JAD on pediatric HS. I think they were putting together a supplement on HS, and she wanted a manuscript on pediatric HS. So at the time, we did a PubMed search, and there was absolutely nothing about pediatric HS. Like, there was no studies. There were very few case reports. It was such a limited amount of information out there that we decided to put our cases together here at SickKids. And we found, like, I think it was close to 50, like, in many, like it was many years, and I thought that it was a good thing to write them up. But as we were trying to put our cases together, like we had the idea, oh, maybe this is a great project to bring to Pedra and get other centers to kind of put all our cases together and make a bigger case series. So we did, and that is how we published on 481 patients with HS. And I think because I ended up doing this Pedra project and having this publication in pediatric HS, I ended up being part of the study group on HS and acne. And I think that's how that was my first step into HS world. Now we have other studies going on. We actually today started our first HS clinic here at SickKids. It's been a group effort. I'm doing it with two of my colleagues. We have one of our nurses that is interested in HS and definitely our social worker. One thing that we know is definitely if HS is underdiagnosed, mental health in the patients with HS is something that is very much overlooked. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make this a nice holistic clinic to approach not only the skin, but also their quality of life, their mental health, kind of tie everything together for them. That was my morning today.
Well, no wonder your clinic ran long. That's very exciting. Congratulations. That is a huge important thing to have happening. And I love the holistic approach, because one thing that we have been so focused on in PEDRA, especially with our stigma study, is that these conditions and these diseases that these kids have affect their mental well-being, and not just theirs, but their families as well. So in order to treat the skin, you have to treat their feelings and their mental situation as well. So I love the holistic approach to the clinic, and that's very exciting. I'm sure you'll be quite busy with that clinic.
We already are.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's such a need. What are some of the biggest challenges you've faced in research?
I think probably the biggest challenge that we're facing is that we're not doing enough. We're not doing enough research in pediatric conditions. I think that having all these wonderful new medications coming, approved for adults, we're still stuck not being able to offer them to kids. We're probably, I think the way that I see it, like some of these chronic inflammatory diseases, the earlier that we treat them and the earlier that we get control of them, probably the best long-term outcomes that these patients are going to have, not only from a disease perspective, but also from, again, mental health, their life in general. Teenagers, younger kids, like they are developing and kind of growing up with one of these chronic diseases is something that is, it adds to that challenge. And I think like we need more. Like we need to partner with pharma. We need to test these medications. We need to see if they're effective in kids. Of course, we need to be careful with the safety, but we also need to study it in a controlled way that not only assures safety, but also gives us that data that we need to be able to get these medications approved for kids. Mm-hmm. So I think if I choose only one, I think that is the biggest challenge. Like we're not doing enough.
Well, before we bring this discussion to a close, is there anything about yourself personally you'd like to share, a hidden talent or a hobby?
I love reading. So I think like what the pandemic kind of left for me was enjoyment of audiobooks, that before I had to have my books and I had to feel the book and read the book. I think now I'm completely into audiobooks. So if I'm cooking in the kitchen alone, I'm usually listening, or if I'm driving, I'm listening. And that has made me really increase my reading numbers. Mm-hmm. I like all the little reading challenges. I guess it's not a true hobby, but I love drinking tea. I have like all these fancy teas that I love. And like I have actually in my kitchen, there's like a special drawer, like with all the different teas. So if you ever come to my house, I can give you like a great tea tour of different parts of the world.
I love that. I also love tea. I am certainly not a connoisseur like you are, but I do love that. And if I did ever come to your house, I would want to peruse your book collection and sip some wonderful exotic tea.
We'll make it a date when the SPD is physically here in Toronto.
Heck yeah. Order. Well, Dr. Leah Corrales, thank you so much for your time. I always enjoy the time I get to spend with you. And thank you for all you do for PEDRA. You never tell me no when I come and ask you for something, and I so appreciate it. This has just been really lovely. Thank you.
Likewise. Always a pleasure chatting with you. And we're not doing enough. We have to keep it up.
We will. We'll do more. We're always doing more. Thank you so much to Dr. Irene Lara Corrales for joining me today on PEDRA's Getting to Know You. You can find more of Getting to Know You's on our YouTube channel at PEDRA Research. You can also track us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at PEDRA Research. And you can check us out online at www.pedraresearch.org. If you would like to be interviewed for Getting to Know You, please send me an email at info@pedraresearch.org.